I'm Dan Hughes in the Treasure Corner. Have you seen that famous sculpture of an old, worn-out Indian, head hung down in exhaustion, sitting on a horse with its head down that looks just as tired? It's called End of the Trail, and it was created in 1915 by a Minnesota sculptor named James Earl Fraser. 2 years earlier, Fraser was hired by the Secretary of the United States Treasury to design a new nickel. He submitted 3 sample designs, and the secretary chose the head of an Indian for the head's side and a side portrait of a buffalo for the tail's side. Some sources call it the Indian head nickel. Others call it the buffalo nickel. That second name is wrong on both counts, by the way. It's a bison, not a buffalo, and it's 3/4 copper and just 1/4 nickel. So actually, it would be more properly called the bison copper instead of the buffalo nickel. Yeah, like that was going to happen. We don't know what Indian was used as the model, and we don't know what bison was used either. James Fraser, the designer, was not much help. At various times, he named different models. He said his final design was a composite of 3 different Indians, a Sioux named Iron Tail, a Kiowa named Big Tree, and a Cheyenne named Two Moons. But a Blackfoot Indian named Two Guns White Calf and a Seneca named John Big Tree both claimed that they had sat as Fraser's model, and they both spent their later years touring the country as the Buffalo Nickel Indian. The identity of the buffalo is just as confusing. The sculptor should know, right? But in 1913, Fraser said his model was Black Diamond and that he did his work at the Bronx Zoo. But Black Diamond had never been at the Bronx Zoo. He spent his life at the Central Park Zoo. Now, the Bronx Zoo did have a bison, but its name was Bronx. Whichever animal it was, Fraser said it would never turn its side to him. It always stared him in the face, so he had trouble drawing the profile. There was a major complication that delayed the issuing of the buffalo nickel by almost a year. The Hobbs Manufacturing Company made a machine that identified counterfeit coins. Clarence Hobbs, owner of the company, contacted the Secretary of the Treasury and claimed that the new nickel as designed would register as counterfeit in his machines. He demanded the coin be redesigned. So the coin's designer, James Fraser, met with Hobbs and some minor changes were made to the border of the nickel. Hobbs was still dissatisfied, but the nickel was finally released anyway. Soon after the first nickels were put into circulation, problems appeared. The mound of earth on which the buffalo stood was raised so high that the new nickels wouldn't stack properly, and they didn't fit right in nickel rolls. The words 5 cents and the date were also raised on the coin, meaning they would wear off quickly. So midway through the run of the 1913 buffalo nickels, the design was changed. The mound became a flat piece of ground, and the words 5 cents were made bigger. But the date was still a problem, and if you've seen many buffalo nickels, you've probably seen some with the dates completely worn off. The original nickels are called Type 1, and the revised design is called Type 2. The Type 2 1913 nickels from Denver and San Francisco, the 1913 D&S coins, are worth substantially more than the Type 1 nickels. The best-known variation of the buffalo nickel is the 1937D three-legged buffalo. A mint worker in Denver named Mr. Young accidentally filled in one of the front legs in one of the dies used to make the coins, and several thousand defective nickels got out before the error was discovered. Those three-legged buffaloes are worth thousands of dollars now in good condition. James Fraser was paid $2,500 for his original design and another $616.15 for his extra work with the Hobbs Manufacturing Company and their counterfeit detecting machine. Fraser's initial, F, appears right below the date. James Earl Fraser's sculpture, End of the Trail, and the Buffalo Nickel were by no means his only claim to fame. He also did the statue of Alexander Hamilton that stands outside the United States Treasury Building, the statue of General Patton that stands outside West Point, the statue of Theodore Roosevelt at the American Museum of Natural History, and dozens more. Fraser died in 1953. For more articles on metal detecting and treasure hunting, and a look at my book, The Metal Detecting Manual, visit treasuremanual.com. Thanks for listening. In the Treasure Corner, I'm Dan Hughes.